Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's consideration is recorded in the letter to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 in the New King James Version, verse 2 in the NIV. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, 216 years ago yesterday, André Jacques Jarnerin, a Frenchman at 3,000 feet, severed the cord connecting his gondola from the hot air balloon above him, trusting that his invention, a silk parachute, would bring him safely down to the ground. It was a rocky ride, metaphorically speaking, but he did arrive. What a profound leap of idiocy. The first parachute. The story reminds me of debates I used to have with my brother, who was formerly a Special Forces Army Green Beret, about jumping out of perfectly good aircraft. Why? On any of a number of missions, he dove, he told me, into pitch black night, not knowing what he would encounter when reaching the ground, trusting only the silk canopy above him and his instincts to meet the ground. Now, parachuting exemplifies a certain kind of faith, but the bottom line is that you can wear a silk suit at your funeral, but it can't transport you aloft to heaven. Perhaps that's an effective metaphor for a lot of schemes of human beings, idiotic ways that they think they're going to gain a hearing before God's throne. But in this case, they don't work. They can never transport you aloft. For this kind of thing, we need another faith, another kind of faith. And this magnificent chapter from Hebrews defines and exemplifies it. It begins with a fairly abstract definition. Would you not agree? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? In what sense is faith a substance? Can you feel it like a silk parachute? Can you smell it? Can you taste it? Is it a material substance? And in what sense is it evidence? Here we're told that it's about things unseen. The Augsburg Confession refers us back to Augustine in helping us think about these things. Number one, there is something that this faith is connected to. Augustine says that the Bible clearly reveals to us the truths about how God created the world, how Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, he died on the cross, rose on the third day for the sins of the world, and that is a faith, Augustine points out. Do you hold to that faith? It echoes Scripture. And yet, that's the kind of faith that even devils have. That's not a saving faith, to know the facts. No, biblical faith is, to quote another writer, confidence in God, assurance that God is gracious to us, to me, to you. And not merely that Jesus lived, died, and rose again, but that he lived and that he died and that he rose again for you, for me, for our sins. That's a subjective investment in an objective truth that God has called us to. Now, biblical faith is a confidence in God's word. And it is a kind of a confidence that views these truths as if we already have them in our possession, as though we could see, feel, and handle them, as though we had not only the prospect but the substance of the forgiveness of sins. That's the faith that the Scriptures speak about. Now, where does that confidence, where does this faith come from? Are you asking yourself, do I have this kind of faith? The kind of faith that the Bible talks about? And we all ought to be asking ourselves that question. The answer is, it comes from the Holy Spirit who works such faith in our hearts through the Word of God and the sacraments. You heard that yesterday. This is one of the reasons why we go to the Word of God. This is the oil of God's work. You know, life can be pretty dangerous, like an uphill ride. Have you ever gone driving in the mountains with a gas tank and realized how fast the gas is guzzled in such a situation? You know, our lives are sometimes like that. We have many things that challenge us and that tax our faith. And so we need that oil. The oil is the Word of God. That's why we come to hear the Scriptures. That's why we come to the sacraments. So in this chapter, faith is exemplified. We're pointed to this chapter for encouragement to get some of that gas, if you will. And this is more than what brings a hot air balloon aloft. This is the substance of God Himself. And that's why verse 2 says, this faith is what the ancients were commended for. So take a look at the abstract definition, but all of you need to go back and read the entire chapter. Look at the chapter and then go and study those Old Testament passages. Do you want to go and find out what faith is? Take a look at how the saints of old heard the Word of God and they responded to it. They said yes. It was the obedience of faith. For a moment, may I remind us that the Bible is also filled with negative examples, people whose lives were a perpetual parachute malfunction, if you will, because they failed to listen to God's word. And the same thing can happen to us. Verse 6 warns, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This is not time to retell the faithlessness of Adam and Eve, of Saul, David, Korah, all the bad kings of Israel, of Christ's own disciples, of our own hearts. But we know about them, and we know about it. At one point in deep concern over the sinfulness of mankind, Jesus asked in Luke, when the Son of Man returns, will He really find faith on the earth? And in his letter to Romans, Paul recalls the ancient story of Israel's unbelief. Because of unbelief, Paul writes in chapter 11, verse 20, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Faith is important. It's essential. These negative examples remind us of our need for daily contrition, repentance, and the need to continually go back to the source of our faith, which is the Word. The book of Hebrews refers us to a long list of ancient saints, of Abel, Enoch, who walked with God, of Noah, who lived with a godly fear in a time when nobody else around him did, of Moses, Gideon, Samson, Moses, Abraham, leaving his home to go to a foreign land because God had said, leave and go. Taking his only son that he loved and immediately taking him the next day on a 3-day trip to go and sacrifice him. Big irony is that when you read that account back in Genesis, you see the account telling us, and Abraham stopped, he left the two lads that he brought along with him and the donkey, and then he took his... the lad, his child, with him, saying to them, I and my child shall return. And as Hebrews points out here in verse 19, Abraham, even though he had been told by God that he was to sacrifice his son, knew that God had given him his promise that from that seed all the rest of the world would be blessed. Therefore, he knew that God could not take his son. And if he did, he had to give him back. You see, he took God at his word, giving us all an example of faith. These ancient models, through faith, subdued kingdoms, Hebrews said, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. But none lived to see the coming of Christ. And yet they all looked confidently to the future with total assurance. How much the more so should we look confidently ahead, because looking confidently backwards, we can see that God kept all of the promises that they had not seen. We see that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, who took on the Ancient of Days, took on human flesh, as our brother, took our sins to Calvary, and on the third day rose again, sealing death's fate and sealing our faith. A faith not based on a silken shoot, but the very promises of God instantiated in us, in his Son, Jesus Christ, and recollected in our baptism and in the Lord's Supper. And keep in mind that our baptism and our Lord's Supper bring us into that relationship with Christ, and they remind us of the one who is to come, who also died for us. That's the very nature of the Lord's Supper, to send us backwards so that we may, by faith, look forwards to the second coming of Christ. May God grant us all this faith.